Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome aboard, everybody. Friday edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Bob Getty and Andrew Abbotty. Kelly out a little ill today. We expect him back Monday. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Oak Grove, and we're glad you're part of the show today. Dickey's Barbecue Pit sponsors the opening segment of our program. That's a great place for a weekend meal with your family or a great place to cater your next Southern Miss event. They do a wonderful job, and we appreciate everything that Dickey's does to support Southern Miss and our program. Later in the show, talking to Patrick McGee from the Times-Picayune, we're scheduled to talk to the play-by-play voice of Louisiana Monroe, this weekend's baseball opponent. His name is Mike Hammett, but we're going to start the show today by talking a little football. And Andrew, I'm going to get you to set this up. Andrew has been covering the first week of spring football. I think they practice again later this afternoon. And earlier this week, talked to Braylon Braxton. And Andrew, is it fair to say he will be the starting quarterback?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. No question about it. You can hear me? Huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, no question about it. It's pretty obvious, you know, especially when Huff basically introduces him, your quarterback, right?
It's
his job to lose at this point. Now, Huff did say he can lose it if something happens or whatever, and you know, he does have a fairly seasoned quarterback behind him whose name is escaping me, but he's a transfer from UAB, got some reps at Louisiana Tech and saw a good bit of action there, but I think it's his job. But we got to talk to him on the Southern Miss Spring Football Media Day earlier this week. And, you know, this is just kind of, you know, it was our first interaction with him. So I assume it's going to be your first interaction with him. So
here
it is.
Here's Braylon Braxton.
Braylon, just to start, Scott Kirk with WDM-TV in Hattiesburg. You know, entering the transfer portal, I'm sure there are a lot of options, a lot of suitors. Why was Coach Huff Southern Miss? Why follow him? Why come here?
I chose Southern Miss, and I chose to come here, yes, like you said, because of Coach Huff. You know, he's a great guy. He kept it honest with me the whole time when I was in Marshall. He never told me a lie, never deceived me in any kind of way. So, you know, it's just a big trust thing with me, I would say. And then also, like you said, or like my teammate J-Mo said, like, everything here at Southern Miss is great. You know, when we first got here, we were kind of scared because, like, we heard some stuff that probably wasn't true, but you know, this is a great place, you know, great facilities, great field, great amenities. You know, there's a lot more resources here as far as, you know, taking care of the athletes and the students as well. So
speak a little bit to, I know you spent a ton of time with Blake Anderson, kind of compare or contrast or what you like about his system, you know, as opposed to what you were running there at Marshall last season.
Yeah, I mean, Coach Anderson, he's his own guy, but there are a lot of similarities from the last offense we were in. There's a lot of carryover, I would say. And it's a lot of stuff that I'm very comfortable with doing, a lot of stuff that I've been doing my whole life, really. You know, this air raid system, Coach Anderson likes to call it a fast break offense on turf. But, you know, this system is something I've been doing a long time. It's something I'm very comfortable with. And that's another reason why I chose to come here. I wanted familiarity, and I wanted comfortability. So, yeah, I love Coach Anderson. So,
what do you, just in general, with various position groups, is there one in particular that you're kind of excited for at this point?
Right now I'm excited about our offensive line. You know, we got a lot of good guys on the offensive line. We got a lot of guys that have played some meaningful college football. And I feel like we got some straight-up dogs up front. So, you know, I'm excited to play behind these guys. You know, at this point where we're at right now, like just seeing it, this is probably one of the better offensive line, one of the better offensive lines I've played for in college football. And I played with an offensive line at Tulsa that had a first-round draft pick and a fifth-round draft pick. So, you know, I'm really excited to play behind these guys. I'm ready to see what they can do.
Well, like you said, you were at Tulsa. You've been around a little bit. Can you speak to what sets Ben Ashford apart as the other strength coaches you've worked with?
Coach B.A., the thing I say that sets Coach B.A. apart from every other strength coach in the country is his personal relationships with his players. You know, most guys, you come to the facility, you know, you do your workout, you do whatever you got to do, you know, that's it. But, you know, Coach B.A., we spend more time with Coach B.A. than we do any other person in this, you know, program. You know, we're with Coach B.A. from winter workouts to summer workouts. You know, Coach B.A. calling us over the break, making sure we're not just sitting around not doing nothing. You know, Coach B.A., he's very involved. You know, I say his heart, like, he just got a pure heart. You know, Coach B.A. been through a lot of stuff, you know, been drugged through the mud, kicked, and he threw it all. You know, he still got one of the purest hearts I've ever been around. And he just truly loved his job as a strength coach. Like, he get up every day and tell us, like, he's living his passion. Like, this is what he loves to do. He loves coaching athletes. He loves coaching men, love making men better. But, you know, I can't speak highly enough of Coach B.A. He's one of the best men I've been around. So,
feels like there's a unique challenge. You know, Sun Belt champion, now you're part of a team that went 1-11 last year. Obviously, it's a different year, clean slate. But kind of tell me how you think this team is kind of attacking that challenge.
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge. You know, something we look at every day is flip the script 2025. You know, it's on the scoreboard, it's in our locker room. I'm sure it's going to get put on a shirt here pretty soon. But, you know, right now we're just trying to attack every day. Like Coach Huff said, like J-Mo said, you know, we focus on individuals right now. And, you know, you probably say that and you're like, well, what do you mean focus on individuals? It's a team. But it's like, well, to make a strong team, you got to have strong individuals. So if everybody shows up to the team, you know, as their best self, you know, working on yourself, you know, fixing what you need to fix, I feel like that gives the team the best chance to be successful. So, you know, right now everybody focuses on themselves, you know, trying to get our bodies right. Trying to get our minds right, watching as much film as we can, taking care of our bodies in the training room with Aaron, you know, just all around trying to become a better person. So when we do become that team, we give ourselves the best chance to be successful.
Kind of speak to what you like about Hattiesburg, new place, some of the things you like about, you know, the community here.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I like for sure is, you know, it's down south. Like I said, I'm from Texas. It's good being back down here. You know, they take football very seriously down south. The food down here is really good. And, you know, I'm just happy to be back around some, you know, 60s and 70s weather. You know, down there in Huntington, we got a lot of 30s, 25s. That's not really me, but, you know, it's cool. I just like being back down south, back closer to home, honestly.
Some of the guys that are made here, like Ty, Chris Jones, just based on maybe conversations you had with you. What have they told you about the history of this program, just kind of what football means to this fan base, if that's happened?
Yeah, it's like, and I try not to speak too much about last year, but it's like everybody that I've talked to is so excited for this upcoming football season. And last year we were 1-11. So I feel like that just speaks volumes to what football means to this city and to this community. Like, nobody's turned their back on us. You know, everybody's still, you know, as far as I know, that first game is going to be sold out. So, you know, it's a big deal out here. Football's a big deal. And, you know, we're going to do our best, and we're going to do everything we can, you know, put a smile on everybody who comes to support us in that stadium's face.
All right, that's Braylon Braxton, the new quarterback at Southern Miss. And, Andrew, that's the first time I've heard him. Very articulate, well-spoken young man.
He is a quarterback.
Yeah.
That's what you need, right?
What'd you take away from your conversations with him?
You know, and not just him. Josh Moten, who's a DB, he had 5 picks at Marshall last year. They both said this same thing. We were worried. We were scared to come to Southern Miss because we had heard things about it.
Did you ever find out what that was?
No.
No?
I doubt I will either. But, yeah, I don't – that was kind of a routine for anybody who was at Marshall that they just said that. And I guess I kind of get it given they're 1-11. You hear the worst, I assume. But, yeah, that I thought that was interesting. I also found how he was, and he makes a really good point right there, Braylon Braxton. With they were 1-11 last year, and everybody's so excited for the next football season. I mean, it's true.
Yeah.
So, Yeah. And then I think the last thing was, you know, I asked all the coaches, the coordinators, you know, what position group were you most excited for? And usually the go-to answer was the receivers because they have a lot of talent and depth in there. He was the first one to say the offensive – actually, he was the only one to say the offensive line, which he could say, sure, the quarterback has to kind of say the offensive line. But, you know, he was part of a team that had two linemen drafted in the NFL draft. And for him to compare them to that, I think, is telling because there are several all-conference guys that they got from the portal at Southern Miss now.
All right, so he started at Tulsa.
Yes.
And then moved to Marshall.
Yeah.
And then came with his coach here.
Yeah, that's a lot of traveling.
That's the world of college football now, man. It's really not that unusual.
Yeah, I couldn't do all that. I hate doing it as an adult, much less in college.
These are kids, man.
I've never understood how the academic side aligns with all that transferring. Because, like, you know, I've heard of people transferring from one D1 to the other, and some of your credits don't roll over because some schools are accredited and some things and that kind of thing. And I never understood how that can work out.
Right. Safe to say, as we conclude, it just really is a completely different atmosphere early on.
Yeah. You know, earlier this week you asked me what else is different, and the fact that they practice in the afternoons instead of the early mornings.
I kind of like that myself.
I don't have to get up at the crack of dawn. It's kind of nice.
No question. Now, it'll get a little warm.
It's true.
As football season gets closer.
But there's more parking on campus. Yeah, that's exactly nice,
right.
Too.
All right, Braylon Braxton. We think he'll be the starter, unless something unforeseen happens, right?
Correct.
All right, Mike Hammett calls play-by-play for Louisiana Monroe. Golden Eagles are down in Monroe getting ready to take on the Warhawks later tonight. We'll talk to him next.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, everybody, let's start talking baseball now. This segment sponsored by Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street, campusbookmart.net. Also, don't forget about Mobay Beignet Company. That's a great weekend stop, 2902 Hardy Street in Hattiesburg, where you can have freshly ordered. They cook them when you order them, beignets. And a drink of your choice. They got all kinds of good selections. And finally, I want to remind you about the Eagle Hour podcast. Thousands of you listen every month, and we're grateful. Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you could tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Just a few hours away between the second weekend series of the conference season, the 19th-ranked Golden Eagles in Monroe to take on Louisiana Monroe, the Warhawks 9-11 on the year, 1-2 in the league. Lost this past midweek game to Louisiana Tech, and the weekend before they opened conference play went 1-2 against James Madison University. Mike Hammett will be doing the play-by-play of the weekend baseball series. And Mike, welcome to the Eagle Hour. We're glad to have you, man.
I'm glad to be back and looking forward to a great series. Always fun when the Warhawks and Golden Eagles get together, and I'm for one glad to have Southern Miss in the league. It's a nice easy trip when we meet and have to come to Hattiesburg, but we'll take you guys coming up here this weekend for sure.
Well, we're looking forward to it. The Golden Eagles are pitching well and hitting the ball pretty well. Tell us how the Warhawks are playing.
I think ULM at the moment is pitching better than it's hitting. you go back to even Tuesday's midweek against Louisiana Tech, you know, they get six runs in that game, but one, you know, three of them in the first were after an error to lead off the top of the first inning. It should have been inning over before they got a little bloop single that was in and out of the glove on a diving attempt out in right field, too, that could have ended the inning as well. And then a two-run homer followed right after that, and they go up 3-0. And then a pitch away from getting out of the third, and, you know, they over the next four pitches, collect three straight hits and knock in two runs, and all of a sudden it's 5-0. But really shut them down pretty well from there. You know, the defense let them down a couple times, but even last weekend, you know, Friday, for whatever reason, has been kind of the tough one for ULM pitching. Even though Landon Grigg has been pretty good in the starts, it's been the bullpen's kind of let it get away a little bit. You know, Saturday they've pitched it well the last couple of weekends. Ashton Bassett, a freshman lefty, has been pretty strong, and then they follow him with Joey Sorelli, a veteran right-hander out of the pen. And Sunday has been pretty solid too. You know, they've been going Daniel Gonzalez, who started the season on Friday night but bumped to Sunday after he missed the start at Missouri State with a bit of a sore shoulder. And since they bumped him to Sunday in the reshuffled rotation, he's been really good. He's had a couple of quality starts, and then they still have some guys out of the bullpen they like to follow him with as well that have thrown well. So, you know, when it goes according to formula, it's worked out well. When it hasn't, not so much. But we've seen the last 2 weeks they've dropped Friday games, bounced back Saturday, and then at least forced a rubber game on Sunday, and had every chance to take that series at JMU last weekend. You know, they go 11 in a doubleheader in game two Saturday in the series finale. And without two of the best offensive players, Colby Lunsford and Bryce Blazer, both did not play in that game. Lunsford tweaked, I think, a hamstring in game one trying to steal second base, and he's questionable for this weekend. Bryce Blazer got a migraine in the middle of game one of the doubleheader and wasn't able to go, and he's back in the lineup. But still took JMU to 11, almost won that series out there, you know, against a team that was in a regional a year ago. Clearly they're quite different this year, but, you know, they're right there. And I think they're real close to getting something to click offensively. You know, I think pitching's been pretty good. Defense has been up and down, but it's going to be tough for three this weekend, and they know that, and I think they're up for the challenge that Southern Miss presents this weekend.
Mike, I want to ask you obviously, Federico is, of course, from the Southern Miss tree, been there for 7 years now, and I know he's kept ULM competitive, and he's coming up on year seven or year eight, one or the other. What's kind of your assessment since he's taken over the program, and, you know, how have you kind of felt about the Federico era?
Yeah, this is year eight going on right now for him, and he, you know, compared to where this program was before he took over, it is a lot better. It's a really kind of a night and day difference. But the thing that I think some folks around here, you know, there have been some folks that start to grumble and say, man, they've got to get it going at some point. Well, the conference has gotten a heck of a lot better in those 8 years, too. I mean, you know, it was a one-bid league at one point, you know, back early in his tenure. And then it was getting better, and then you make the additions and bring in programs like Southern Miss, like Old Dominion, like James Madison, and, you know, now Marshall seems to have committed to things. Arkansas State's committing to improving their facilities and getting their program going. This league has improved dramatically, and, you know, that's not even to speak of, you know, what Skylar Meade's done at Troy to elevate that program, and, you know, Georgia Southern being able to host a regional a couple of years ago. And, I mean, there's just so many things that have done to elevate this league, and so ULM has kind of stayed there at the bottom fighting to get to Montgomery, and, you know, thankfully this league has kind of reached the point that if you're in Montgomery, you're probably in the conversation anyway to, you know, if you can make a run, that you can probably make an appearance at a regional or something. But, you know, Coach Fed's done a nice job elevating. He's done a nice job of changing the facilities here. You know, we've got the all-turf field here now that a few years ago it was grass, and we had to cancel a season opening series because of some ice and whatnot, but that doesn't happen anymore. We've got a new seating area behind home plate. They've renovated the clubhouse. They've added a weight room right next to the clubhouse underneath the stadium, the bullpens. I mean, everything has changed, and now his next task is getting new lights here at Lou Sandoval Field. So You know, it's one piece at a time, but he's done a great job, I think, of making this program competitive. But even though the wins may not have been there, it's not an easy series for anybody, typically. And then, you know, from a facility standpoint, I feel like we're, you know, right there in the pack in the Sun Belt with, you know, a good facility. I mean, there's facilities in this league you go to, and you know, you're a little bit surprised it's a Division I facility, but this is not one of those. And so he's to be credited with a lot of that transformation here at ULM.
Mike, you wouldn't be talking about Georgia State, now would you?
I didn't name names or anything. But
that's like a community little league feel. That's more what that's like, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't know when John Cox has been there. I know last year I had to sit on top of storm sewer grates at a folding table. So, yeah, that's a little less than ideal, and you know, but it is what it is, and hopefully that's going to be going away soon too.
It's not Pete Taylor Park, can we say that?
No.
All right, what's your team's mindset? Golden Eagles rolling in, two-time defending conference champions. Ranked in the top 20, I think 19th in this week's poll. What do you think your guys' mindset is?
You know, I think they are excited for the challenge. I think it's really a good place to see where they're at, you know, as we get ready for the last 8 weeks of the season. This team, they believe they're good enough to make a regional. They believe they're good enough to do all that. But as somebody like me who sits, you know, adjacent to the program and, you know, around the guys a lot and whatnot, I sit here and go, okay, goal number one needs to be qualify for Montgomery. And so, you know, as far as that goes, to make the conference tournament, I think goal number one is you got to be able to find a way to win a game this weekend. And if you can win a series, even better. But I think they believe they can compete. I think they believe that, you know, they belong with the best in this conference, and certainly they recognize Southern Miss as one of those programs that is up there as the top of the league and one of those that they're trying to catch and become more like. So we'll see, but I think, you know, I think they're hanging in pretty good. It's been a tough travel month with a couple of week-long road trips, and one of those was last week. They didn't get in until Monday night at 9:15 coming back from JMU, and then had to turn around and play in Ruston Tuesday night. So they've had a couple of days to rest up a little bit and get ready and get some practice in. And so I'm interested to see what kind of fight they have tonight. They've been some issues on Friday nights with energy sometimes, and they've been challenged a bit. But I'm interested to see, you know, when you have a team that has that national ranking number next to them coming in, I think it fires some folks up, and we'll see if they're up to the challenge this weekend.
Mike, just last thing, we've got, I think, under a minute to go, but I had said this. I wonder if you think the same way. Is this the toughest the Sun Belt has been since at least Southern Miss has entered the league?
I think so, because I look at the last 8 weekends, or after, you know, make it 9 weekends, including this one. You know, I don't know. I can't point to one series and say, yep, ULM's going to win that series. You know, that's it's a battle every weekend. Even next week against Arkansas State, I think they've made some improvements with Coach Silva. So I think this league is deep. You know, the 10 teams that go to Montgomery are going to be very quality ball clubs. It's going to be a fun tournament. And this league just, I think, gets better and better every year. This year's no exception.
Mike, we really appreciate you coming on the show, man. It's always fun talking to you. We look forward to watching the Eagles and the Warhawks tonight and all through the weekend.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
All right, Mike Hammett, everybody. He did say some chance of rain Sunday, but they think later in the day. I guess we'll just have to play that by ear. Sure don't want a Saturday doubleheader, Andrew.
Oh, God, no. No. Well, I don't know. I mean, for the Southern Miss fans, you can sit back all day and watch baseball and basketball.
That is the positive. Yes, that's right.
Just saying.
All right, when we come back, turn our attention to the Saints.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
I want to thank Mike Hammett down at Louisiana Monroe, kind of giving us a preview of tonight's game. between the Warhawks and the Golden Eagles. Don't forget about MCS Home Center. It's brand new. It's in Bellevue. Got some weekend projects at your house up planned? Well, that's where you need to go. Just drive out Highway 98 West toward Columbia. You'll see it right on the right. And when you walk in the store, you'll never go back to one of the big box stores here in Hattiesburg. MCS Home Center. You got to check it out. If you're a weekend warrior, got some home projects, they got everything you could possibly need to make sure your project is a success. All right, don't forget, too, about Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Their sedans and SUVs are the best on the road. You can visit the all-new Genesis showroom, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. Patrick McGee in New Orleans, sports editor of the Times-Picayune. All right, Patrick, I read an article earlier this week about the Saints, and the article was indicating that with their general manager, the Saints have never been a really active free agent team, and that they weren't very active in the free agent market this year. Is that correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, I would say they're one of the teams. They haven't been among the most active teams. They brought in a fair amount of guys who were going to leave, like a Juwan Johnson, brought him back on a new deal. And there's just not long ago, they probably made their biggest acquisition yet of free agency. They're bringing back Brandon Cooks, who's played receiver for the Dallas Cowboys the last couple of seasons. He was with the Saints for the first 3 years of his career and was one of Drew Brees' top targets, has always been a pretty productive receiver. He's at 31 now, has been pretty solid, stayed in shape. So I think he, you know, in Brandon Cooks, you have a third receiver. The Saints did not have a third receiver a year ago whenever they had Olave and Rashid Shaheed out on the field. They just didn't have somebody they could really rely on. So to bring in Brandon Cooks, it takes a little bit of pressure off, you know, them trying to draft a little bit high at that position. So, Cooks is a guy they can bring in as a veteran, reliable player and somebody that can complement Olave and Shaheed.
This would eliminate Cooper Kupp coming. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, you would think so. Yeah, you would think so. You know, I think Cooks is, you know, Kupp has kind of battled injuries a little bit kind of late in his career off and on. Cooks is somebody that's generally stayed on the field and hasn't been that injury prone. He's a guy that's been pretty steady and stayed in shape. So I think Cooks right now is probably more at a steady production level while Kupp has dropped off a little bit.
Patrick, I mean, is there any, I guess, other free agent sniffs or anything like that they might be looking at, or is that going to be maybe it for them?
No, I mean, I think I don't think there's much more for them to do because, I mean, they just don't have a ton of space to work with. But if there is activity, I think maybe we'll see them try to bolster depth on the offensive line. You know, they've already signed Todd Shaw there at defensive tackle. He comes over from the Patriots. So I think if there's somebody that's going to add, I think maybe we see one or two guys pop up along the line. But they're not going to be prominent names. They're just trying to do whatever they can to build depth along the front.
Boy, this really feels like a lackluster Saints offseason.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are kind of surprised that not so much they signed Juwan Johnson, but they gave him a pretty hefty deal. It's not an offseason that's really going to make Saints fans feel more optimistic or comfortable going into this season. I don't think anybody who's kind of looked at this team realistically thought Kellen Moore's first year in town was going to be some kind of gangbusters deal. Loomis and company haven't been overly aggressive. I think they've addressed certain things through free agency. You know, I think the guys they brought in on the offensive line are pretty kind of status quo. Gotcha, I think, was a good addition. I think that's something needed, kind of a guy who can eat up space in the middle and help stop the run. But and then you have Reed, the safety from the Chiefs. He's another prominent guy. I'd probably say Reed and Cooks are probably two of the biggest names they're bringing in. So, no, I mean, it's not a sexy class. It's not something that's really going to help season tickets or something like that.
Is it, I mean, at this point, is it kind of eggs all in the basket for the draft and trying to have an A-plus draft?
Yeah, I mean, if Loomis was going to take a realistic approach to this, it was going to be, to really focus on the draft and address certain areas and build for the future through the draft. Yeah, I mean, it's all about the draft really kind of moving forward.
I know the maybe the big-ish draft story last week was how, and I just think this is to boost stock, but Cam Ward seeing very open to the Saints drafting him.
Yeah, he met with the Saints during the combine, and he likes the idea of playing, and maybe the Saints are looking, you know, I think it was Mel Kiper out that put Jackson Dart in that spot with the Saints. I'm somebody that thinks that Dart has a pretty good upside as a pro, but at this point, that's too high to pick Dart.
I'm with you.
I just don't think there are a lot of quarterbacks that are worth it at number 9 in this draft.
I'm right there with you. I feel like taking a quarterback would be a bad idea, especially with, you got Derek Carr, Rattler has shown promise. It just seems like if you were going to take a quarterback, it has to be one of those where there's 4 or 5 high-end quarterbacks in a deep draft class, and this just is not it.
I like Dart. I actually like him better as a prospect than the Rattler. I think Rattler's probably going to hang around the pros for a bit, but he's still got a long ways to go. He showed kind of glimpses here or there of some potential, but yeah, I mean, the answer at quarterback is not going to be there for the Saints this year in the draft.
Side note about Jackson Dart, nothing to do with his playing ability, but I was very impressed when I read an article this year that kid made a lot of NIL money, and he gave about 90% of it away to local charities in the Oxford area. So he's he's clearly a high character kid, Patrick. And when they're drafting important players, they do look a lot at their character, do they not?
Yeah, sure. It's a fair amount. That plays into it. I mean, there's a reason they go through all these interviews, and they really know these guys before they sit them down in the room. You know, they're going to go to those schools. They're going to talk to the coaches. They're going to talk to people that have been through them through high school all the way back to middle school. They're going to know these guys pretty well. So I think, they talk about the interviews at the combine, but really these teams have done their homework if they're smart, and they're not having to learn it through an interview. It's all about just the impression you can make in those interviews. So, character is a big part of it because character can kind of breed consistency and, potentially long-term run, something like that. So, yeah, it certainly plays a role.
I know we've said, and you've said, and I agree with you, it's going to be one of those drafts where it's probably the best player available, which you can't really go wrong with that philosophy.
Right.
But in your mind, what would you like for them to get? What do you feel like is maybe the thing that they need to go grab?
I'm weird, and like very few other people, but I think if there's a running back there that can be an impact guy right away, I think you kind of have to do it. that's what I would do if I was GM of the Saints, and that is a weird, compared to most people, but Kamara has just got so much pressure on him. There has been no help whatsoever with him at running back, and we see what some of these teams have done with really kind of, dual running back situations. Having that depth when Kamara's out, you have an answer. Maybe Kendre Miller eventually, if he can get on the field, can be that guy, but he just hasn't been able to stay on the field. But somewhere along the way, they got to find another guy at running back, or this offense is going to be stagnant.
So it will be an offensive draft. Is that where they need to improve the most, Patrick, offensively?
No, I mean, I think there's a good chance they draft an edge rusher. I think that could very well happen. So, I'm not ruling that. But, I mean, if I'm Kellen Moore, I'm going to offense. I mean, at the end of the day, if this franchise is going to be winning 2 to 3 years from now, it's going to be based on an offense that really can put the ball in the end zone. Yeah. And it's going to be because of Kellen Moore's play calling. So I think they should go offense first round, yes.
All right, I asked Andrew this before we got you on, and I had remembered you saying this, I believe. In a nutshell, the Saints are old, correct? I mean, they need youth. They need a youth movement.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of the obvious deal about this team is when you get Cameron Jordan, DeMario Davis. I think DeMario is still playing at a pretty high level. Cam Jordan has fallen off a little bit here late in his career. And you look at a Trey Hendrickson who's with the Bengals and just is like all world. They just made some poor decisions on investing in veterans that just didn't have that much left in the tank and letting some younger guys, Zach Bond, They just didn't, as good a defensive coach as Allen was, they had a hard time kind of identifying the younger guys and how they could get on the field and how they could use them. and they're paying for that now. So, they're old and they kind of invested in some wrong guys.
All right, Patrick, we sure appreciate you, man. Always enjoy our conversations with you. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but look forward to having you back on the Super Talk Eagle Hour next Friday.
All right, thanks, guys.
Patrick McGee, everybody, from the Times-Picayune. Hey, speaking of newspapers, if you want to stay informed, we suggest the Pine Belt News. It's your go-to source locally for news and sports coverage in the Hattiesburg area. You can also explore their other publications, Signature Magazine. You can get the news delivered to you for just $35 a year. That's, these days, less than the price of a trip for two to McDonald's.
A lot of things.
Yes, or $55 annually if you live outside of Forest or Lamar County. Follow the Pine Belt News on all social media platforms, and you can, of course, visit their website at www.hubcityspokes.com. Wrap up this week on the Eagle Hour next.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better, faster.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, fun show today. Enjoyed hearing from Braylon Braxton, Mike Hammett, and our friend Patrick McGee down in New Orleans. Not a lot of reason to be super excited if you're a Saints fan, is there, Andrew?
Nah.
It just seems, I thought you summed it up. I mean, it's just like a blasé offseason.
Yeah, I haven't paid as close of attention to the Saints compared to where I was in high school, even early days of college, but it's just, blah.
Yeah, I tend to agree. All right, I want to thank our friends at 4th Street Bar and Grill for their sponsorship of our program. Campus Book Mart, I think we failed to mention that. I was there actually just yesterday, and Miss Kathleen is as wonderful as ever. Campus Book Mart, 4th Street Bar and Grill, and this segment sponsored by DBAT on Hardy Street, where you take your children for baseball and softball training. Got a great pro shop, gift cards, all sorts of reasons to enjoy those state-of-the-art facilities at DBAT. Patrick, we hadn't talked about basketball, but a couple players.
I'm not Patrick.
Patrick, yes, that's right. You're Andrew. A couple players gone.
Yeah, Christian Watson, Alfred Worrell, transfer portal.
Did it surprise you at all? Did you have hints that those guys might be unhappy in leaving?
You know, you never know. Doesn't surprise me, but yeah, I think you would have liked to have keep Watson. Worrell, sure, but now if my math is right, I think they're gone 9-10 players from last year's roster.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a completely different team.
Now, isn't that the case just every year, it seems like? It? Not only here, but in basketball all over the country.
Sometimes, but, when you're a 10, 11-win team, getting rid of the whole team's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah.
Again, you'd like to think, you'd like to hope history is on Ladner's side. The last time he was kind of on the hot seat, last time the roster completely flipped. He won
the league,
but yeah, this feels a little different. I haven't seen any signings or anything like that yet for them.
Speaking of basketball, I watched the last half of Drake in Missouri last night. Remarkable story. You probably know about this. The coach, first-year coach, won 30 games, had won, I want to say I remembered him saying, 4 national championships in Division II.
Oh, yeah.
Brought 4 Division II players with him, and those guys could play lights out.
Well, Drake is traditionally a very good basketball school, so none of it comes as a surprise to me. For those who might forget, I had a brief stint in Iowa before I came back to Mississippi, and you know, Drake basketball is kind of along the lines of maybe like Southern Miss baseball in terms of where they are in the basketball world. But just in the Midwest.
Yeah.
And again, Midwest basketball, much different beast than say
good
down south.
Good
basketball. Yes.
Good
basketball. So that wasn't a surprise to me. In fact, I thought they got underseeded and screwed over by the committee because I thought they should have been a 9 or an 8. But what do I know?
And their fans had no mercy last night as they were chanting SEC, SEC in the last 60
seconds. Well, when you get 14 bids. And
isn't that right?
And if I'm, I think Arkansas beat Kansas, but it seemed like the SEC was very underperforming.
Yeah, yeah. Overrated perhaps a little bit?
That's not for me to decide. I cover the SBC that is not underrated.
Correct. No, you're right. All right, women's, we still have no word, and we're getting close here to the portal, right?
Correct. Yep. When people can finally leave.
Are you hearing any rumblings, Patrick?
I'm not Patrick.
Why in the world am I calling you Patrick?
I think I should get an extra $10 in my paycheck.
I'll give
time.
You Kelly's money today.
That's fine.
Since he
litched out. Wink, wink. Iowa State's playing. Just saying. Kelly's not
could
here.
Could have something. Although I did hear from him this morning, and he did sound like he had eaten gravel for dinner. So he didn't sound too good.
It's convenient. That's all I'm saying.
You could be right.
No. I mean, it's been very hush, kind of close to the waist. As I've said, you know, unlike football, where everybody is involved in some way, shape, or form, and it's easier to get an idea. You know, basketball's a little, women's basketball, rephrase, a little tougher because it's not quite the same on that scale. And, you know, a lot of the rumblings I heard were from, you know, just industry sources and whatnot. But, yeah, I don't know. I assume it's the main – I think probably – at least 2 of the main candidates is maybe Missy Bilderback.
Well, we heard last night through a source that talked to Kelly that she is back in the picture, so we don't know that.
It just feels like it's kind of late if she's all of a sudden back in the picture. I don't know, but I think Gazzardo from Southeastern is somebody who is getting a serious look. But other than that, I don't know. I do know this. I'm willing to bet whoever the next coach is going to be a sitting head coach. And the other thing I've definitely picked up on is they're not going to go the Joy Lee McNellis coaching tree or a disciple. So I think they're going for a new brand.
Fresh start.
Yeah.
All right. We'll keep our ear to the grindstone. If we hear something, we'll, of course, pass it along to you, our listeners.
I think it's going to come next week.
Has to almost, right?
Yeah. I think early next week is probably when something will break.
Join us Monday at 1 o'clock. Oz will be on the show. We'll look back at the Louisiana Monroe Weekend Series. Real quick, Patrick.
Dude.
What is wrong with
me? That's $30 you owe me now.
What is wrong with me? Let me throw these notes away.
Uh-huh.
Andrew, do they have to sweep? Or are you happy with a series win?
I think they need to sweep. I'm usually the one saying, yeah, series win is what they need. But I think this one is a sweep.
Kelly and Andrew will be back with us Monday. Not Patrick McGee.
Yeah.
Southern Miss to the top. Like an eagle to the sea.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.